people around the world have their eyes on a new trade partnership that brings together a third of the global economy. It is called the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, which embraces China and 10 other Southeast Asian nations, as well as South Korea, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand.
After 8 years of talks, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, is finally signed. Meeting virtually because of the pandemic, leaders from 15 countries, including China, Japan, and 10 members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, inked the agreement in their respective countries.
The conclusion of RCEP negotiation, the largest free trade agreement in the world, will send a strong message that affirms ASEAN's leading role in supporting the multilateral trading system, creating a new trading structure in the region.
It's an ambitious deal, covering nearly 30% of global economic output and a third of the world's population. The agreement aims to lower tariffs and open up trade and investment in stages. It will provide a simpler trading framework, meaning businesses won't have to navigate separate requirements to export to different countries. China is the biggest member in the trading bloc. Its importance in the region grew even more after the US, led by President Donald Trump, pulled out of a trade pact in 2017. That deal, then known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, would have been the biggest trade deal in the world. Analysts say China is now poised to extend its influence even further.
That does not mean that things are going to change overnight dramatically, but as things unfold over the future and new issues come up that need to be handled, RCEP is going to be one of those platforms that determines it. And simply because of who's the member, and of course China is the largest member, that does, I think, put China in a very influential position over the future development of trade in the region.
This is also the first free trade deal between rival East Asian countries, China, Japan and South Korea.
The deal falls short in some areas. Member states weren't able to agree on some of the provisions on e-commerce. The agreement also does not include environmental protections or set labour standards.
The pact will come into force once enough member states ratify the agreement domestically, a process that could take up to 2 years.
Two experts were asked for their assessment of the new economic partnership.
I think it's very much more political than economic. That this trade deal has obviously generated a lot of excitement, coming as it has on the back of the trade war between the US and China and obviously the global pandemic. But all these countries, or most of these countries, trade quite freely with each other anyway, that tariffs are already very low. So they're basically going to lower tariffs from what are already very low levels to lower them further. So the economic benefit of this is actually going to be quite small. It's not one of these new age trade deals like the TPP, which focused a lot more on non-tariff barriers. So it's very much a political thing for China. It's allowing to kind of cast itself as a champion of globalization. It's also allowing to increase its influence in Asia and kind of take over that role from the US. So it's very much a political thing rather than economic benefits from China's perspective.
Well, obviously, the narrative here in American politics over the past five or so years has been that, the vote for soon-to-be former President Trump was in part an expression of discontent about globalization, about international trade. And so I think that's made politicians a little more hesitant to support new free trade agreement. And in fact, President-elect Biden has said that he will not out of the gate start negotiating new trade agreements. That said, I think at the same time, we've seen a rise of concern about China's role in the world and behavior at home. And so if CPTPP or TPP can be framed as really an instrument to isolate China, to reduce its power and influence in the region, then I think it's much more politically palatable. I think that's what we should hope for. I think also, of course, just like this agreement, the TPP agreement would have significant economic advantages. So I'd hope that President Biden would push for the U.S. rejoining regardless of the geopolitical considerations. But I think the geopolitical considerations are important and, in the political context, potentially crucial.
This has been SAGICOR's Early Business.